If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 18, I've entitled this morning's sermon, Are We Listening to What We're Hearing? Are we listening to what we're hearing? Those of you who are at the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, we know that I have with me the brochure which you came with your Crawley News. You had the Crawley News. There was a four-page insert, how to read the Bible effectively, and it sounded really good stuff. Everything written there was good, but I was able to tell you, because there was no mention of it on the brochure, on the little booklet, on the information sheet, that this was indeed being run by the Christadelphians. And Christadelphians, although in many ways would be orthodox on the most crucial and fundamental areas, that they have a serious flaw when it comes to their view of Jesus Christ, that he was a created being, and although he was the Saviour, he's not God. If Jesus is not God, he cannot save. You would still be in your sins. I would still be in my sins. I would be going to hell. So they may say many good things, but that was a deceptive document. You can also use it as a witness thing. Already somebody has said to me, somebody who lives around me, what did I think about it? So I was able to share on the truth. So use it positively. What the enemy, as we prayed on Wednesday, what the enemy wants to do mischief, the Lord is able to turn it around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is so important, brothers, sisters, that we have a biblical view of Jesus. He is amazing. He's marvelous. I just want us to, for a few moments, just to give glory to Jesus and to build your faith up so that you will be faithful in the words you share, that they are true words, and that, as we heard this morning from Natalie and the others, that we will leave marks wherever we go. We belong to Jesus, and that others may know that for sure. We're going to read the opening 18 verses of this chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This may be the only Christmas sermon you hear from me this year. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." This is the word of God. Thank him for it. This, if you like, is going to be a one-off sermon. I believe the Lord has, throughout this week, has been opening this up to me and speaking to me for the next three Sundays. By God's grace, Alex will be the preacher. Are we listening to what we're hearing? Words are so powerful, aren't they? Words are powerful. Words can build up, words can destroy. It's interesting that Mark and Rachel feel it's right to look at James, but James has a lot to say about our words, doesn't it? It has a lot to say. Words can be, as it were, rays of sunshine to our front or daggers to the back, can they not? Many of our best and worst memories are on words which we may have said or have been said to us. It has been well said that the deepest wounds in life come not from swords, but words. Words tell a story, don't they? Now, I may never have met this lady sitting in the front here. I may never have met you. And we find ourselves in the same room. And we just stare at each other. Now, I can look at you and I can think, this does look a very gracious lady. But I have no idea what's in your mind, what you're thinking. I don't know anything about your background. I don't know if you have a family. I know nothing about you, whether you have faith or not. I can't see if your mouth is shut. Likewise, you have known nothing about me if I keep my mouth shut. We just stare. We are a mystery to each other, aren't we? Until you open your mouth and start sharing something, I will know nothing about you. And that would apply to every one of us. We can just stare at each other and wonder. I didn't know what you were thinking until you spoke. You didn't know what I was thinking until I opened my mouth and started sharing. I do not know your thoughts until you choose to share them. Until we start speaking, until we start sharing. I may have been standing next to a plank of wood as standing next to this dear lady. I'd have had as much fun, probably, you see. Isn't it true that when we speak also, we want to be understood? We want to understand. I would like to think that this morning, as I preach this sermon, you will grasp something in the Holy Spirit, that I will be understood. I hope so. Isn't it tiring when we speak and we're forever having the response, what did you say? What? You know, that couldn't be quite. We need to be understood. We want to speak in a way that people can follow us. When we speak, we want to be listened to, don't we? If we write something down, we don't want there to be loopholes in it that people will not really know what our thoughts are. It will be more difficult to grasp as we haven't. We perhaps have written in a code or whatever. That is no good. If we want to be understood, when we have somebody speak to us, we want it to be in a language that we can understand. Our brother in the front could quite fluently speak in Italian, and it would sound lovely, but I wouldn't have the foggiest what he was saying. I want him to speak in a language I can follow. We want to understand. We also want people to speak directly to us. Isn't it irritating the people, when you're having a conversation with them, their eyes are everywhere but on you? They're looking for somebody more interesting to have a conversation with or whatever. I find that so irritating. I may not be the best looker, but at least look into the eyes. Okay? If you're speaking. You know, we want to. There was a 60-year-old man called John. And the family doctor had died, so they needed a new family doctor, and John had a 90-year-old mother. Now this mother had her faculties, but they needed to see a new doctor. And so John took his mum along to the doctor's. The son went back into the waiting room while the mum was examined thoroughly. And then the doctor called the son, John, back into the surgery bit. And the doctor started immediately talking to John about his mum. Ignored her completely. She wasn't there. Just talked to his... And this was irritating the mother. I'm the one who's been examined. I'm the one this is all about. Not him. So she said to the doctor, do you do crossword puzzles, doctor? Oh, yes, I do. So do I. Tell me, doctor, what do you use, a pen or a pencil? Well, as a matter of fact, I use a pencil, the doctor says. Well, the mother says, I use a pen. Now speak to me. You see, we want to be spoken directly to. We want to be able to understand what and have fellowship, communion, do we not? Now think about it. Now, if we'd had this barrier that neither of us had spoken, we kept our mouths shut, if that would be sort of a hindrance to me getting to know you and you getting to know me, until we choose to share something, how much more this awesome, majestic, infinite, holy God is a mystery to us until he speaks. Until he speaks. Until he speaks. How does the Apostle John introduce the Lord to us? He doesn't introduce him as a babe in Bethlehem. He doesn't speak about him as the Son of the Father, but as the eternal Word. The eternal Word, the Greek Logos. The one who has always been with God, and the one who can alone express God. The one who can make the unknown known. Hallelujah. The one who enters into our world. God speaking, God coming, God saving. Hallelujah. And John communicates this to us, I think, in a most interesting way. He uses the word Word to describe Jesus. He uses the word Word to describe Jesus. And John does not clue us in on this immediately. It's not until we get down to verse 14 that he actually opens this up to us, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord tabernacled himself among us. Just as with the Hebrews, in the tent the Lord displays his glory. He tabernacled among them and saw his, as it were, his glory. So the Word, Jesus, has tabernacled himself among us, and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. By using the word Word, John is pointing to the truth that in the very nature, God, Jesus is God, and that is how God has chosen to reveal himself to us. Just as a man's word is the means by whereby he can reveal what he is thinking, so Jesus reveals God to us. God is not aloof. God is not indifferent. Even this morning, God is not aloof or indifferent to you, because he is tabernacled among you. Emmanuel, God with us. That is why he can move the mountain in your life and mine. Hallelujah. This is the God. This is why the God of the Christadelphians, pray for them. The God of the Jehovah's Witnesses, it is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Muslim, the Christian God, the ones who are following Jesus, have had him revealed and come to him by. He has to be God. Jesus has to be God. And I want also to say this. I believe by using the term the Word, and John opening this up, not only in the opening chapter, but on some of the ongoing chapters, John, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying something very, very significant to us. This Jesus was not just a good man, not just a great prophet, not somebody who was nice and doing good things, perhaps a wise man. No, they are all totally inadequate descriptions to describe the Word. Totally inadequate. And just do not do justice to Jesus. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word, Jesus, was God. And just for a few moments, we're looking at three aspects of the word, Word. The first, if you like, quality to be communicated in the description of Jesus as Word is his creativity. His creativity. Hallelujah. John is deliberately reminding us of the first words that appear in our Bible, which are, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he shows that there never was a thing created that does not depend on him for existence. Hallelujah. Our Lord, so far from being a creature of God, which the cults and the heretics would say, our Lord Jesus is the one who created the world and all that they contain. Psalm 148 says, he commands and they were created. Now we know that so much of the teaching, because the devil hates the word of God. The devil obviously doesn't want anyone, he doesn't want your peers, your pals, your mates, to come to faith in the living Lord God. He wants to say, well, actually God is dead, or this book, the Bible, is just about the Israelites, really. You know, it doesn't have an impact in your life. So one of the things the devil does is persuade, that is, the powers that are at work, the dominions, the principalities, they convince the education authorities to do away with creation. So we're talking about the powers and the atoms coming together and so on. And hey, billions of years ago, all by chance, it was made and we evolved and so on. Where's God in that? Well, we can do without God. We don't have to worship it. We don't have to be responsible to one who's not our creator, do we? So you can see what has been happening. That's why I can remember our friend, our sister, a few months back, just sharing so eloquently and using the screen to display, to show us how nonsensical and how she has stood up some of the textbooks, which are absolutely... Am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. I would be downhearted, friends, if this was the new millennium, if this was the thousand-year reign of Christ and was having this rubbish. I would immediately thought God had lost it. He's no longer in control. But these things are here. This is why we're looking at the Word this morning, to strengthen our faith so that we can have something to share. How will they know about Jesus? How will your mates, how will your colleagues, how will your family know about Lord if they cannot see you walking the path, leaving your mark and communicating? I have made you fishers of men. Communication. He is a creative God. You see, John's testimony is so vastly different to the evolutionists, those who say God is dead or have a perverted view of God, because there were some where they were not going down that line. John's testimony is so different. He says that there is such a greater mind behind the universe. There is a bigger banger, if you like. There is an original thinker. There is a designer. Hallelujah. There is a genius that lies behind every law in the physical universe. It is the Word. It is the Word. God is personally and creatively communicating. The thing is, are we listening? Are we listening? If we're listening and taking on board, we have something to share, something good. So is creativity. The second quality that is communicated, and there are others, but the second quality that I just want to briefly share on this morning, that is communicated by the word Word, is of course His eternity. His eternity. He is the uncreated one. And so to establish the eternity of the Word, John is saying that the Word existed before creation. Hallelujah. He was not created, and he is not to be included with created things. This is where the cults fall down so badly. God have mercy on them. If He's had mercy on you, He can have mercy on them as well. For our Lord, there is no start. There is only a state of being. Praise His name. So, when we think of Jesus, we do not start in the manger or the announcement of Mary or of the prophets. We begin, so to speak, in eternity. And that is why when these precious verses and others are only spoken at the sentimental time of Christmas, most of this is glossed over. The world can cope with a little babe. This is why we need to be singing the carols in September, October, other times of the year, as well as maybe around the Christmas season. What does Colossians say? The Colossians chapter 1 says He was before all things. He was before all things. And not only that, friends, within the Godhead there is equality and intimacy. Equality and intimacy. The Word is interesting here, for it tells us that God and the Word were continually face to face, and they were having fellowship, communicating. There is nearness in the Godhead, no opposition. There is an accompaniment, there is a relationship. We're not going into the Trinity this morning, but friends, what that shows to us, the heart of God, fellowship, relationship, togetherness, partnership, being together. And again, that is why where society is happy, the principalities are happy when they persuade families to break up. Hallelujah. Well, so we have His creativity, we have His eternity. Thirdly, I believe that the quality that is communicated to us in the description of the Word is, of course, His deity. We've touched on it, but His deity. The Word is the same as God in essence and character. He is God. He was God in every way. He was God in the beginning. He was God when He came to earth. He's God now. Hallelujah. What does that mean to you and to me? Oh, well, it means that, yes, by his grace we can be saved. We can be saved from our past. We can be saved from what we deserve. We can be made righteous in him. It means that we can be indwelt by this Holy Spirit, that we can have the victory, what we were singing and hearing about this morning. All this is real to us because we have faith in this one who revealed himself, who made himself known. Hallelujah. But because he is God and man, because when he came to earth from heaven, he came as God. But when he went up, ascended up on high, and seated at the right hand of the throne, God, he is man. God and man. So that is why, whatever you have gone through this week, the Lord was with you. He was sympathizing with you. He's a sympathetic, because he's God and man. Look, the scripture says you may have been suffering in the last few weeks. Folk are suffering big time in this world, but there's nothing that the Lord doesn't understand. He's able to bring succor and help in our time of need because he's revealed himself, God and man. And he's still communicating with us today. Thanks be to God for his word, the word of God, the written word, the word made manifest. Hallelujah. His deity. Hallelujah. Well, friends, when you see Jesus, you see God. When you see Jesus, you see God. What a privileged people we are. Most didn't want to know him. Most don't want to know him today. But if you know him, you know, no one could look on the face of God. But he spoke, revealed himself. We can see Jesus. Hallelujah. In all of his beauty, in all of his glory, in all of his saving work, do you know him? And if you know him, are you leaving your mark so that others see Jesus? Communicating, sharing. Hallelujah. Our Lord is not merely a created, he is not a created thing. He is in no way inferior to God the Father. He is equal. And he has power. Power to redeem sinners. He is nothing less than perfect God. Hallelujah. And the Word was, the Word is, the Word will be God constantly. And one day soon we will see the Word face to face. And he will come, his feet will stand in Jerusalem. We will behold, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that the Word is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. Hallelujah. He has made himself known. You know, then what's that little chorus which we used to sing donkeys years ago, that little ditty? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim as you look in the light of his glory and grace. Isn't that true? Oh, and when we take our eyes off the word, when we take our eyes off, then our problems become mountains, insurmountable mountains. When we look to Jesus, we see the all-conquering one. Our faith rises. We say, hey, he and I, together, we're co-workers, we're co-laborers, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because he's God and man. So, in conclusion, celebrate the creativity of God. Celebrate his creativity. You are his workmanship. Glory be to his name. Yes, we are his workmanship. Despite our past, despite our present sin, by his grace, we are being transformed into his likeness. Glory. Oh, man. He is the genius in creation. Celebrate the eternity of God, for there is nothing exists outside his power and control. thirdly, celebrate the deity of God. For there exists perfect unity, perfect companionship in the Godhead. And listen as the Word speaks. For he is the supernatural. He is the satisfying Saviour of all of our needs. Hallelujah. Through the ages, who Jesus would be has been communicated. Let's, in conclusion, listen to these words. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Upon him the governments are formed, and one day he will reign. Glory to his name. Oh, friends, there is wonderful power in those verses. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will be give birth to a son. And he will be called Emmanuel. How definite Scripture is. At times we wonder how it could be missed. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we listening to what we're hearing? Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm thankful that this dear sister wasn't a plank of wood. I'm thankful that we've got to know her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is no dumb idol. He is the living Word. Will you go forth from this place, even during this week, here with little stars, here with our youth, there in your office, there in your college, there in your school, there with your family, there in your neighborhood, communicate.